Have you ever walked down a street in the middle of the night, in the dead of winter with a full moon hanging overhead? A street that you've only ever known during normal waking hours with people all around and cars driving by. But now it's just you. With every step you take, snow crunches under your feet. More snow is falling, and it's so quiet out there that you can actually hear the snowflakes landing on the ground. The quiet has a sharpness to it. Every snow-covered surface reflects the moonlight, and the world is glowing blue. You see that street every day, and you barely notice it. Yet when you're out there alone in the cold and the snow, it feels like you've never been there before in your life. That's how it was that night. I was out there just walking, thinking, trying to clear my head, trying to sort through the stories and characters and worlds inside my mind because they wouldn't let me sleep. This has always been my curse. I have the imagination of a writer, but I don't have the skill with words or the patience to put those stories down on paper, so they play like movies in my mind. Movies that only I will ever see. That night on the street, one of those stories was driving me crazy. It was so vivid that I could see it there projected onto the snow-covered ground. I could hear the characters whispering to each other in the distance, and I guess that maybe I was muttering their words under my breath. I must have said something, because as I walked, I heard someone behind me chuckle. When I turned around, he said, "There is a fine line between insanity and being a writer." I didn't know this man. He was old, so old that his skin looked waxy and thin. The blue glow of the moon and the shadows around his eyes didn't help to make him look any younger, or healthier for that matter. He was dressed in an old suit that might have fit him once, but now it hung off his body. In some ways, he looked like a child, wearing his father's clothes. No coat, no gloves or scarf. My instinct was to tell the man that he would catch his death out there dressed like that. But as soon as I thought it, the man waved off the idea. Clearly, his death was already close to catching him. The man walked to a bench and brushed away some of the snow on it before sitting down. He was facing the street with his back to me now. "It's just a matter of recognizing that the voices in your head aren't real," the man continued with his thought, "which I assume you are capable of doing." "And yet they threaten to drive me mad nonetheless," I replied, though in far less poetic words, as I walked around the bench to look at the man. I don't know why I didn't just keep walking. There was something about this old man that grabbed my attention, but I couldn't put my finger on it. Though there was light on his face now, his eyes were still covered by shadows. I could see only a hint of a reflection in them, and everything else was black. The man brushed away some of the snow that had fallen on his legs since he sat down, and then placed his hands in his lap as he looked up to the sky. "Stories, both real or fiction, are quite alive, I think. Their embers glowing and drifting into the air. Some can ignite a raging fire while others fade into nothing. Imagine the number of stories not just forgotten, but all those stories never told," the man said. "Everyone has a novel in their desk drawer," I replied with a smirk. The man almost smiled in response, but the humor quickly faded. How did he know that I'd been thinking of a story? Even if I was muttering to myself, surely he couldn't have gotten much of what I was saying. "The stories have been my life for so long that little else remains," the old man told me. "And now I suppose I'll learn how the first story ends." That thought hung in the air as snow continued to fall around us and I continued to freeze, yet the old man didn't appear to feel a thing. He straightened up just a bit and nodded as he said, "It's time. Nobody likes a story that outlives its welcome. It's time for mine to end, just as all the others ended before me." "Others?" I asked. "Stories deserve to live, if only for a moment. They deserve to be told, if only once. And that's what I do," he explained. Thinking that I was catching on, I said, "You're a writer." But the old man brushed off the idea, just as he had brushed the snow off of his lap. "Nothing so simple," he said. "You see, all of those stories, buried in desk drawers or stuck inside the mind of someone who will never write it, are entire worlds that are never given a chance to exist. Those stories find their way to me, and I tell them. How do you tell them? I asked. The man smiled and said, A cable access show that I started when I was as young as you are now. I didn't know that those still existed, I told him, to which he replied, It's a dying medium. Before me, there were pirate radio stations broadcast from the middle of a desert. There were some who told stories on street corners or in carnival tents. It doesn't matter how the story is told, it simply matters that it is told, spoken aloud, and given life. Perhaps I'm a bit slow, or maybe I was tired, but none of what this man told me was making sense. If he wasn't a writer, what was he? If he didn't create the stories, where did they come from? Rather than bombard this man with all of those questions, I decided to keep things simple. I asked him, You make a living doing that? The old man chuckled, but didn't answer. How did you get into it? I asked. He wasn't looking at me as he spoke. Now he was looking at the snow that was falling around him, and he said, Not everyone stops to listen to the ramblings of an old man in the middle of the night. It's a rare breed that is willing to hear the stories around them. I like stories, I said, in a way that I hope didn't sound as stupid as it does now. I did too, the old man told me. I've loved each and every one of them. The man stood up, straightened his clothes, brushed the snow from his shoulders, and took a deep breath. Yet still, his eyes were hidden in darkness. But my time has passed, he said. Now it's your turn to tell the stories, to speak them aloud and let them exist if only for a moment, and even if nobody will ever know you've done it. Just give them a chance, no matter how small, to ignite that raging fire. Tell them until you have none left to tell and someone new takes your place. I didn't know what he meant, but I pretended that I did. We made our pleasant goodbyes, and the old man walked into the night in the direction opposite of where I was going. And that was it. A strange conversation on a strange night, but nothing more. It almost felt like a dream until a package arrived on my doorstep 2 weeks later with my name on it. No address, no return address, just a package containing a few handwritten pages. These pages, an old man's final story, and my first. I don't know how often these stories will come or how long they'll be. What I do know is that when I get them, I will tell them. I will put them out into the world, even if nobody is there to hear. I will give them their chance. This is what I do now. This is what I am. I am the voice of the embers. If you enjoyed this episode of The Voice of the Embers, please subscribe. If you feel inclined to make a donation to the show, you can find a link to our Ko-fi account in the description.